If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money-back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me what's ailing me,
doctor?
You said,
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we're going to empower you. That's what we like to do. Mentally Lunch, your Frank and I have a great show. We're ready to roll. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about your health and also society's future. So your health is going to impact society in a big old way that you never thought it could. And we're going to talk about that. And we do have a quack report. But before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm hitting the knees. Mind the time, it grows short. So today's devotional puts us in Psalms 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will fear not what flesh can do to me. That's Psalms 56. So, that's right. God is the way, mind the time, it grows short. If you haven't learned, just let the Lord Jesus Christ be your Savior and Lord, now is the time. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Franca. First, we have the low-dose radiation from X-rays. CT scans are in that mix. Apparently, new research is saying that it can increase your risk of high blood pressure. They say a prolonged exposure to ionizing radiation emitted by these medical devices or nuclear facilities is associated with increased risk of high blood pressure. And the finding has come from several studies recently published in the Journal of Hypertension. So in it, the researchers found that the incidence of high blood pressure was higher in people who were exposed to low-dose radiation for long periods. So ionizing radiation is from radiation that can break apart and damage molecules. And this emission is also released in the form of electromagnetic waves or particles. So light, sound, and radio waves are all examples of radiation, but those forms of radiation can't pass through solid objects. But ionized radiation, on the other hand, can penetrate human body, enabled images of the bones and organs to be printed on the screen. So ionizing radiation will disrupt the atoms and molecules in our bodies, and for this reason, experts warn us against extensive use of such radiation regardless of the dose. A lot of studies being done on that. And last but not least, in the Quack Report, COVID vaccine is in the news. Some of the participants getting sick. That's right. A highly anticipated clinical trial of the COVID vaccine. American drug company Moderna is given results. Resulted in some adverse events in half of the trial participants. One test group did report severe symptoms. So in the trial, being sponsored by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, they were using a vaccine of 0.5 milliliter injection right into the deltoid muscle of your arm. Usually you have to get two shots that are spaced about a month apart. And two separate groups did receive 25 micrograms and another group 100 microgram dose respectively. So they're trying to see what the dose they need to give you. Third group did get 250 microgram dose, but they added, in response to these participants, the research team reported in the New England Journal of Medicine that no trial-limiting safety concerns were identified, yet a majority of the participants still reported at least one side effect. They go on to say solicited adverse events that occurred in more than half of the participants included fatigue, chills, headache, and pain at the injection site. Fever, joint pain, nausea was also reported. They also said some side effects grew more common with the larger injections. So systemic adverse events were more common after the second vaccination, particularly with the higher dose group. So the scientists said that due to the ongoing status of this project, they are not yet able to assess the durability of the immune response. So they said they plan to follow these participants for 1 year after their second vaccination. They're going to test their blood samples and monitor the vaccine effects. So, but isn't this vaccine, Frank, supposed to be out, like, you know, this year or right at the beginning of next year? How are they going to fit that one-year monitoring in before they inject it into everybody else? There's a question. Yep. Inquiring minds want to know. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, but before we jump into our first segment, I want to read this. You probably heard this, Frank. Maybe some of our listeners have, too. This is, you remember Paul Harvey's radio show in the 60s? Remember him? Yeah. I remember my grandfather would listen to him. Paul Harvey here. And for the rest of the story, yeah. That's right, as you say that. All right, so Paul Harvey, this is in 1965. Oh, I know it was his tagline. I remember my grandfather listening to him. Okay, so a listener, Steve, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, sent me this printout of one of the shows Steve Harvey did. I believe you can kind of catch the clip up on YouTube. They have it there. But it was the segment of What If I Were the Devil, the Prince of Darkness. You remember that one? Do you remember that one, Frank? Anyway, Steve Harvey said, if I were the devil, the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I would have a third of the real estate and four-fifths of the population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. That would be you and me. So I would, he said, I would set about, however, necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of the serpent, I would whisper to you, as I whisper to Eve, do what you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible's a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is bad. And the old, I would teach them, hey, pray after me, our Father which art in Washington. Yeah, that's Social Security, right? He goes on to say, and then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors on how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd make TV look worse than the movies and then make the movies worse, look worse than the TV in this vicious cycle that would just get worse and worse. I'd peddle narcotics to whoever I could, and I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction, and I would tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have memorizing media fan the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects but neglect the discipline of emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors in every schoolhouse door. This was in, like, 1965. Well, he goes on to say, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse and then from the schoolhouse and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and defy science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. And if I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of the East of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have and give it to those who wanted it until I have killed the incentive of ambition. And what would you bet? I couldn't get the whole, you know, a whole states of the U.S. to promote gambling in a way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work and in patriotism and in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned and swinging is more fun. And what you see on TV is the way you should live. And I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. Amazing! 1965? Oh, that's amazing. It's almost like, you know, prophetic. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's what happens when you have a falling away of the church, when the real priests leave the pulpits. That's what happens. Society just falls off the cliff. They get further and further from God. And if you don't have God, well, God is the treasure. Don't you get it? He's the light of the world. And without him, there's this total darkness, chaos, and destruction. All right, let's move along to our first segment. We're going to talk about your health and society's future because guess what? They're intertwined. Yep. And in a way you probably wouldn't think, right? So everywhere we're looking now in the media, you know, the world is using the word sustainability. It's thrown around these days. It's now a new term that is describing the health of the nation and a society and the individual cost, of sustaining. So it begs the question, is your health sustainable and can society afford you? That's what it's kind of, you know, suggesting. So if the people go along with the healthcare system run by, let's say, one entity, which collects funds to sustain that system, then it may take a village to prop up the health of the not so healthy. Yep. So the one payer healthcare system may sound like a solution to counter the high costs of care, but the countries that already have it in place know that, you know, care doesn't get any cheaper. However, the push to make it a global way of addressing healthcare is not going to go away. Health is a political pawn, and it's also a third of the nation's wealth. So we're going to take a look at how your health is looked at, not only as a commodity, but also as a social element affecting the entire community. Let me read you this quote from the World Health Organization, January 13, 2020. And they say, we need to realize that health is an investment in our future, which is why health security cannot be a matter for ministries of health alone. Now, remember that quote, because you're going to see what I mean in a minute. So you've got a decade of action coming. That's right, because what we're seeing is the United Nations and the World Health Organization have combined forces to demand action regarding healthcare, not just from the health sector alone. They declare it is their responsibility to take this whole thing and to oversee it and to take action. So they have prepared this action plan that will be fully implemented by 2030. It's called the Sustainable Development Goal. So therefore, these next 10 years will most likely prove, you know, to cause a significant change with regards to everything related to your health. Changes require funding. So the United Nations and the World Health Organization advocate for national funding to address a broken system they call the health infrastructure. All right, so this program is not limited to single nations, but is a global plan where countries will financially assist other countries as an investment in health. The problem is, you know, whenever you have a massive system like that, it is prime for abuse, prime for things like embezzlement and fraud. And that's exactly what Great Britain is experiencing with their system as it's going bankrupt. So this utopia healthcare plan that they have envisioned requires the cooperation of local communities, governments, and international agencies. So the question that I have is, how do you compel local communities to donate money that may be used overseas in other countries and hold the local leaders accountable for that? Well, the answer is, it's not a donation. It's going to be a garnishment by way of tax. That's right. So let me read you this quote by the WHO director, Theodos Gabrius. He says, there are no shortcuts to a healthcare world, a healthier world, excuse me. 2030, he says, is fast approaching, and we must hold leaders accountable for their commitments. So they want leaders to commit to this plan, sort of like a pledge. So how are they going to fund this? Well, they're going to raise taxes. It's a global healthcare scheme. So most people wouldn't be motivated to support another country's healthcare system when theirs is needing some help. So therefore, the global support cannot be voluntary but mandatory through various forms of taxes. And it most likely won't be one tax but a combination of taxes. So the global health tax could be made up of taxes we already pay to cover the extra expense, but they just add a dime here or a few cents there. Or it could be also the introduction of another new tax, like a carbon tax. Well, let's look at the globalist health debate, because according to the WHO, you cannot talk about global health care without factoring in the climate debate. We are to believe the Earth's climate is partly responsible for the health crisis. Their perspective goes kind of beyond the pollution and the cleaning up the waterways kind of thing. There is the very existence of man, according to them, that is to blame for the climate crisis. So yet the people who, you know, tout this agenda, they're the ones, you know, jetting around on private jets. According to the WHO, they said this, in 2019, over 80 cities in more than 50 countries committed to the WHO's Air Quality Guidelines Agreement regarding air pollution and climate policies. So in September 2019, Politico reported that the European Union approved spending millions of euros on private jet flights for government officials. Well, let's look at the Pricewaterhouse report in London. They reported on the Health Research Institute was projecting some global medical costs. They're saying it's going to increase by 4 to 10% in 2021. And guess what they're blaming it on? Well, they're saying the COVID-19 scare is most likely the culprit in this jump in healthcare costs. So the reason is there was unexpected healthcare costs that have impacted the world with COVID-19. For example, they listed employer added costs for COVID testing, employer added costs for COVID disinfecting and cleaning, employer COVID-19 compliance in staffing, employer COVID-19 compliance in serving customers, employer COVID-19 hours of operation. They were, you know, trimmed a bit. Rise in mental health care and also loss of work, closed businesses. Also rise in social isolation and conditioning, curtailing travel and spending. And also distribution line disruption affecting healthcare as well as sanitary supplies. So ripple effect for real, you know. Absolutely. Let me go down to the narrow care topic. I don't know if you've heard about this, but according to Pricewaterhouse, due to the COVID-19 pushing up costs, that at least one quarter of employers now will elect to narrow provider networks on their healthcare benefits. So the network of health providers that people can utilize will be trimmed in order to save employers some money. So this will allow the plan providers to offer price concessions to the employers because as patient risk is reduced, a price increases. But if patient risk is increased, the price drops. So employers are looking for more predictable cash flow and employees will be spending more on their health benefits. Well, let's look at the takeover of health because, you know, you're going to be seeing this kind of creep in a little bit more lately. You're going to see it kind of rear its ugly head. Because as you can see, the United Nations and the WHO are priming nations to view healthcare as something that not only needs an overhaul, but which financially and legally needs support by all facets of government and society. So the Department of Health, the Department of Human Services, or the Ministries of Health will all have a weaker authority over a global health system. But however, there would be a controlling entity that encompasses the entities drafting the policy and guidelines. So pandemics, real or not, they play a role in the strategic transformation of your healthcare. So COVID-19, this incident, was global. And arguments to prevent this type of pandemic from happening again are going to be used to justify global healthcare change and funding. So when the noose around healthcare tightens, the freedom of choice is suffocated. Now, healthcare is, when it's in the wrong hands, it offers severe control if people allow it. The question is, are people going to allow it? Now, China elected to utilize the root of all evil, money, to control their citizenry, money by replacing credit scores with social scores. That's how they're doing it. Well, let's stay strong. Let's not get, you know, too desperate here, because the changes we're facing really are unlike anything we've ever seen. It's a lot of change in a lot of areas, but you want to stay strong and you want to stay close to God in prayer. You want to be vigilant in wisdom and discernment, knowing God works all things for his purpose. So God also encourages us to place our trust in his medicinal herbs for healing from Genesis to Revelation. You can read it for yourself. So don't miss out on how empowering herbs are for the healing of the nations. And now I call that a real global healthcare plan. So call Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog they can send you. You can download their catalog too off their website. You'll discover metabolic strengthening herbs, immune support herbs, and herbs to remove toxins for all better health. You can give a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Of course, you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. They're all organic professional strength formulas. They are the game changer. And if you're on their website, thepowerherbs.com, do sign up for their free online newsletters. You'll be empowered each and every week with natural health information, therapies that, you know, you can utilize and save yourself some money, save yourself from toxicity, just save yourself. Thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. And if you miss any of these shows, I know American Voice Radio does archive them, and also thepowerherbs.com does archive them as well, so you can go back and listen and revisit a show or check out what you may have missed live. So thepowerherbs.com. All right, so we are going to be also touching, since people are stressed, we're going to touch on a little bit of depression here. And it's an interesting thing. Sometimes you can have one condition that's linked to another condition. And when you clear up the first condition, guess what? The other condition goes away too. So if you have depression and you have a sleep apnea, hey, guess what? They've been known to be linked together. So if you get rid of one, you can get rid of the other. And there's a way of doing it, and it's not going to be hard, not at all. So we're going to be talking about how you can get rid of sleep apnea and also your depression, because those two things are very much linked together. Plus, the other thing that I find with people with sleep apnea, they also seem to have high blood pressure for some reason. Not all, but a lot of them do. So that could be also a causal link as well. And there are herbs for that. And lifestyle changes also are going to be major, because there's a lot of power in food and your medicinal herbs. Everything you put in the body has a cause and effect, so don't neglect that. Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to show you how to get rid of the sleep apnea and your depression. So stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010. Or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive?
Whoa! Find the Superman in you. Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Hey, we're back. We are retro. Okay, we're going to be talking about how if you got sleep apnea, you may have a little bit of depression, and we're going to talk about how you can resolve those. Depression in the United States kind of become a problem, and now especially it's being even more felt. So about a little over 18 million Americans in the adult category are suffering from some form of depression. Now, shutting off depression with, you know, the mind-altering drugs and, you know, stuffing your feelings down is not going to help the depression go away. So scientific medicine will try to promote new drug therapies to manage that depression. However, some forms of depression are treatment-resistant with drugs, and people want a cure rather than just, you know, symptom management. So lately, medicine is discovering that a condition such as depression can be from a dysfunction from one of the other organs that you have. So we're going to take a look at what science is saying regarding the link between depression and your sleep apnea. Here's a quote from Ann Lander. She says, people who drink or pop pills to drown their sorrow should be told that sorrow knows how to swim. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's look at depression signs, because the definition of depression is depressed mood or a loss of interest in normal activities for 2 consecutive weeks. So clinical depression will also impact a person's social and professional life, or even their education. Other symptoms that normally manifest with depression are like sleep disturbances, appetite changes, weight changes by at least 5%, fatigue, energy loss, concentration problems, decision-making problems, memory issues, and also even suicidal thoughts. So in the American culture, though, we tend to tiptoe around people that are depressed, and you may know of someone in your workplace that is given kind of special considerations. Obviously, there are protocols and policies in workplaces now to handle delicate issues, and they want the best for those suffering from depression, of course. However, as with most things, there is room for abuse. Now, I once knew a middle-aged adult who suffered from manic depression and refused counseling, drug therapy, or any kind of treatment whatsoever, and this person did nothing to address the mental behavior and mindset they have, and it was forced on others, and they had to put up with it, and his bad behavior, his mood swings and everything else. So statistically, 37% of adults with depression do not receive treatment at all. About 6% use medication only, and even fewer will receive treatment by current medical guidelines. Here's a quote from Nick Hornby. Remember him, High Fidelity? He said, "It's brilliant being depressed. I can behave as badly as I like." End of quote. Yeah, that's unfortunate, isn't it? Well, let's look at some of the drug therapies. It's a kind of not a picnic if you're having to take some of those. It is underestimated why some people reject the drug therapies for depression. People sometimes reject Prozac made by Eli Lilly. It's a neurotransmitter and it's an anesthetic, actually. It anesthetizes the brain in a way. So Prozac, what it does is it produces the same effect on the body as amphetamines or speed, because it increases your adrenaline level. And how does it do that? Well, adrenaline and amphetamines are chemically almost identical. The difference between amphetamines and Prozac is that amphetamines mimic a body function if given in large enough doses, and Prozac forces the body to increase its own production of adrenaline. So Prozac eventually burns out your organs because it can't keep up with the abnormally high production of adrenaline. Where do you get adrenaline? Well, you get it from your glands, right? That sit on top of your kidneys. Adrenal glands. That's where adrenaline comes from. Now, some of the burnout effects that have been documented are inability to read, inability to write, inability to hold a thought long enough to keep a job, and loss of comprehension. Bad, bad news. Now, Prozac affects the neurotransmitter serotonin, and serotonin is affected by the adrenaline level. And so excessive adrenaline will cause depression. Prozac actually raises the adrenaline level so high that it kind of has this opposite effect. It makes your depression worse to the point that your brain is anesthetized, and you just don't care that you're depressed. Yeah. I mean, depression, one of the symptoms of depression is you don't care. But that this kind of takes it to a new level where you don't care about not caring. Does that make sense? Just 1/13th of a milligram of Prozac will double your body's adrenaline level. And Prozac actually magnifies depression, but your brain is so anesthetized with serotonin, you don't care. And this is a dangerous situation. Millions of people have a new prognosis on when they're on these drugs, apathy and indifference. You see that in society, do you? Mm-hmm. Well, there's this connection link. This was in the June 2019 Journal of Psychiatric Research. The physicians at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta University, they suggested that depression can stem from other conditions like heart disease and sleep apnea. Now, this is why I see a lot of people with high blood pressure with sleep apnea. And there's the statistical connection between these patients with sleep apnea, but the high blood pressure, you know, cholesterol and heart disease, and also even the depression are kind of in the mix. Now, they found particularly where people are overweight, the overweight males, where they were concerned, about 14%. Well, they don't fit the profile for clinical depression, and they really should look at another cause. But they found that sleep apnea occurred in 50% of the patients that had depression who did not respond to traditional drug therapy at all. So this study is suggesting your sleep disruption may be key to the symptoms of depression. Well, you know, if you're not getting enough sleep, you're kind of grumpy and your brain doesn't work right. Here is a quote from Dr. Van McCall, Department of Psychiatry and Health Behavior at the Medical College of Georgia and Augusta University. He says, "We know that there are hidden causes for sleep apnea in people who are depressed and suicidal." He goes on to say, "Testing and treatment for sleep apnea should be part of the guidelines for managing treatment resistant depression." And he says, "It can be very simply that if you don't sleep, you get depressed, and depression is a major risk for suicide." Well, and we're going to get to the sleep apnea in a minute, why you're not sleeping. Depression, drug risk, you want to be careful. According to Dr. McCall, treatment-resistant depression can also be the result of drug side effects from heart and blood pressure meds like beta blockers, rheumatoid arthritis drugs, corticosteroids, and for conditions like lupus. So according to the American Sleep Apnea Association, 22 million Americans suffer from sleep apnea, and we are told about 80% of those with sleep apnea have moderate to severe symptoms. So there are a few different types of sleep apnea. If you suffer from, you can have these episodes where you're not breathing hundreds of times per night, produces poor sleep quality, maybe a headache when you get up in the morning, greater risk of other things in your health getting worse or deeper. So your brain's not getting that rest because you fail to get that deep REM sleep, REM sleep. So you can have a few types of sleep apneas. There's obstructive sleep apnea where there's a blockage to the airway. Sometimes people, when they fall asleep, their tongue can fall against their palate, which puts pressure on that area, and it can collapse, and then it causes that air obstruction there. There's central sleep apnea, when the airway is not completely blocked. However, the brain is not sending a signal through the central nervous system to the chest cavity muscle to breathe. That's a problem. Yeah. And then there's the complex sleep apnea, which represents a combination of the obstruction of the central sleep apnea. So our sleep apnea, American Sleep Apnea Association, is stating that this produces a reduction of oxygen levels in the blood that can starve your cells and produce additional physical conditions and can lead to some health complications. So when people have sleep apnea and when they start to breathe again, they have that very loud snore. But a fight or flight adrenaline has been released, and this happens many, many times a night, and it's really stressful on the heart. So some of the symptoms of sleep apnea is headaches, heart attack, high blood pressure, heart failure, AFib or heart flutters, stroke, type 2 diabetes, depression, sleep deprivation, lack of energy, loss of concentration and coordination, and obesity. Well, let's look at some of the sleep treatments, because if you go to the doctor, the medical treatment for sleep apnea over the last 20 years has been less than successful. Patients and their family members report that the sleep apnea machines, called CPAP machines, offer little symptom relief and also offer some risk. So if you have seen the machines, they are about the size of a toaster. There's hoses attached to them. The bottom tray holds a pan of water that is sucked up into the machine, producing a moist air mist that gets forced into the back of the airway as the person that's sleeping wears a mask. And that's supposed to keep the airway open and from closing. So patients complain of the lack of comfort sleeping while wearing a mask, and the hose that's connected to the machine makes it significant amount of noise, similar to slurping sounds. In addition, the problem most sleep apnea patients find out later is that the CPAP machine is really not, if it's not cleaned properly, it can produce bacteria and mold that can lead to serious lung and sinus infections. So patients are required to sleep on their back, and often later abandon the treatment, or they take it off in the middle of the night so they can sleep on their side. Other more comfortable devices, we're told, are in development, but these all will attempt to address the symptom and not your cause. Physicians will also advise patients to reduce their weight, see their dentist to make sure they get a dental guard to push the lower jaw and tongue forward to prevent closure of the airway, and also in severe cases, doctors may even suggest surgery on the palate. Here's a quote from Dr. Susan Redline. She's a clinical director, Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders, Brigham Women's Hospital in Massachusetts. And she says, "We hope that these studies focus attention on the importance of sleep apnea in men and women who are historically underdiagnosed." I'll say, they don't even know what's causing the sleep apnea. Well, let's get to that Yale study, because they kind of hit the nail on the head. The researchers team at Yale conducted a study in 2007 to assess the risk of your cardio events linked with your sleep apnea. They discovered that the severe cases of sleep apnea run the greater risk of developing heart disease and dying early. According to Dr. Naomi Shea of Yale University study, their work was really not the first, but it was the largest study that tracked the association of sleep apnea with heart disease and the outcome of survival of heart attack and the mortality rate. What Dr. Shea is suggesting is sleep apnea should be treated as it suggests it could lower the risk of a heart disease or an event. Dr. Shea is stating that obesity is a major risk factor with the sleep apnea. And on the study, they followed about 1,100 people with sleep apnea for about 5 years. They monitored their heart attack, coronary artery disease, and the need for bypass heart surgery and events of death. Now, according to that research, sleep apnea stimulates the body's fight or flight response, and this reduces blood flow to the heart. This repeated exposure every night, several times a night, will starve the heart muscle of oxygen, weaken it, and can cause a heart attack. Well, let's look at the high-risk group. According to a study in 2015, the Journal of Circulation published that women are at a greater risk of dying from sleep apnea complications than men are. During a 14-year study, the patients with severe sleep apnea, approximately 32%, had enlarged hearts, cardiac events, and died. Those with moderate sleep apnea of 30% experienced adverse event problems. And these two groups were compared to women without sleep apnea to establish a risk factor. Men tend to have complications of obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure in their particular high-risk group. Wow. Well, now Rutgers did a study with regards to sleep apnea. Well, they weren't really testing sleep apnea. They were looking at your thyroid. So over the years, you know, I've kind of talked about information that's been published but not really promoted by medical circles because, you know, it could be a cure and then cut out some other more expensive treatments, so it's really not promoted, see. So for curing some of the most problematic health conditions of the modern world, you know, may be cutting out some of the gravy train for healthcare, so that's why it's pretty much not really talked about. So here's the thing. When I was an herbal student, I heard a presentation by a natural physician who said he thought that a lot of sleep disruption and cardio issues were tied to the thyroid gland. So in 2007, Rutgers University did this research on the thyroid hormones that tend to regulate your sleep cycle. Dr. Joseph Martin, he's a biologist who found out how important the thyroid was when it was removed, because he had, I guess, an issue with it, cancer or something. And, he had cancer, so he was forced then, once it was removed, he had to take hormone medications to try to substitute for the missing gland, and he was constantly getting those doses adjusted to help regulate his sleep and avoid being lethargic and gaining weight. So, you know, hormone therapy is very delicate business. It really is. It's tricky. So what researchers have since discovered is that the thyroid manufactures your hormones, which affect your brain and your nervous system. So some of those hormones your thyroid's making, the brain will take and use for things like neurotransmitters. And so when it does that, this affects cellular activity and regeneration all over the body. Modern medicine thought your thyroid just regulated temperature and your weight, but it's a much more important function than that. The researchers have led to be understanding that during your sleep, your thyroid produces hormones that help regulate the circadian sleep cycle, and also the neurotransmitter the brain also uses to regulate your breathing when you're sleeping. Yep. So here's Dr. Joseph Martin, biologist. He says, we're really just beginning to learn the true extent of how thyroid hormones impact our overall health. Absolutely. So it's kind of like a chain reaction. So it's easy to see that the result of a thyroid gland not getting nutrients that it needs so it can produce the hormones supporting your metabolic functions like your nervous system and your cardio system and even your brain. So if you have a lack of iodine, the thyroid is starving, you'll get sleep apnea, which will produce cardio dysfunction, and then your depression. See how that worked? One little mineral did all that. A lack of it, a lack of a mineral, can do all that. So I've learned a few things working with herbs and helping the people with thyroids. Our thyroid gland must have organic iodine, not synthetic iodine, in order to manufacture these hormones. So if the gland is overworked and exhausted, it will need to be soothed as well as fed. People become impatient if they have a thyroid gland that's unable to offer them any energy. Depression and weight gain are also frustrating complications that can occur. And if you have the right herbs and you use them in the right combination, you're going to regenerate that thyroid. So difficulties can come into play if you have had surgery on the gland or radiation treatments on your thyroid. However, I would still use the herbs anyway to help try to regenerate the gland. And so here are the herbal tools that I use for the thyroid. I use black walnut because it has the highest concentration of natural iodine to feed the thyroid gland. That's the fuel that it needs, the nutrition it needs, so it can manufacture those hormones. I use mullein herb. It soothes that gland that's so tired and exhausted. It's like giving it a whole body massage. It's wonderful. And then I'll pump in some Siberian ginseng that will offer the gland on a metabolic level stamina, okay, energy. So all three of those herbs are in a sleep apnea pack that you can find at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. So get that thyroid balanced. Get that sleep apnea gone. Get the cardio function looking good. And the depression just melts away. That's right. So now, in case you have a weaker heart, you've had this a while, maybe you need some strengthening of the cardio. The folks at Apothecary Herbs also have some cardio metabolic strengtheners. They have the heart cholesterol blood pressure formula. They have hawthorn berries that lowers the risk of stroke. They have circulation formula, motherwort with the heart flutter AFib thing. And they also have a heart attack pack for an emergency if you want to, you know, take it with you traveling. You just don't want to take it on a plane. It's liquids. They won't like that. Other formulas that can help in your transition. There's valerian root. If you feel anxious and depressed, that'll help take tension out of the nervous system. They have some diabetic formulas over there too as well. A brain concentrate to improve cognitive function. If you have a lot of muscle tension, they have a relaxation formula that will, you know, take the tension out of muscles. They have a great overall vitamin mix called body food mix that you can just add to a smoothie. And you can even help you lose a little weight because you won't feel as hungry. And they have an emotional stress formula with some natural bees to support your nervous system. So you got lots of tools over there at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs, they like to educate their consumers. So get used to getting informed if you're going to deal with them, right? the Power Herbs, or you can give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, you just think about that. You can put your sleep apnea pack in the box, in the closet. Bye-bye. Wouldn't that be great? You don't have to deal with that thing anymore. And it works really quick, the sleep apnea thing. Within a few days, it's not like you have to wait a long time. So check it out. You want you would just use those three formulas, the black walnut, the mullein, and the Siberian ginseng, right before bed. Ta-da! Well, a lot of those liquids, they're in the system working in 60 seconds, so it's not something that has to be digested and take 2 hours. No, not efficient. That's not efficient. Well, check it out, thepowerherbs.com. We got a few minutes. I wanted to mention real quick, if you like getting information in your email that's helpful, empowering, that you can even share with family and friends, do sign up for the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com. You just click on books and newsletters and you can sign up for free. There's no subscription. The American Survival will go out on Tuesdays. And the Health Quest will go out on Friday. So there's two different newsletters. The American Survival does include some wonderful information on gold and silver market information from the folks at Discount Gold and Silver, which is very helpful if you're making some financial decisions out there. I find them to be very straightforward and honest. And then you do have some natural health therapies in that issue as well. And then the Health Quest is just strictly health therapy. So if you just want health therapy, that's the one you want, Health Quest, and that goes out on Friday. So that'll be going out tomorrow. So if you want to get on the mailing list, and it's absolutely free, go to thepowerherbs.com and click on books and newsletters. All right. I got a few minutes here, and I get from time to time calls about the liver, the liver. There's some people that I've heard now, they may be going through conventional drug therapy for, let's say, cancer, but they're on such toxic protocols that they'll take milk thistle to help their liver deal with the neutralizing of those chemicals. So milk thistle is one of those wonderful herbs. I love it for the liver. It helps. It has antioxidants in it, and the liver will use those antioxidants to help regenerate liver cells and replace sick and dying cells with healthy new ones. So if you haven't heard about milk thistle, it's just a very mild tasting. It's not real bitter. It's not hot and spicy, but it's very mild tasting. So you hardly know it's in your fruit juice or vegetable juice if you wanted to put it in there. Give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. That's one of the formulas they have. They have over 100 different formulas, and you'll be amazed at how empowering you're going to be when you get certified organic professional strength herb formulas. That's the game changer. So these are like professional grade that practitioners use, and you can too. So you're not going to find this product line in stores. This is available direct from the manufacturer to you, so you can pick up their free product catalog and be amazed what you can do. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. The website is thepowerherbs.com. Don't delay. Get over there. Get your catalog. Get informed. And be well out there. Oh, I see I'm out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. And until next time, I wish you all to be well.